In a world of parental support, it can be difficult to find programming that is specific to supporting fathers. Today's episode is a community highlight of Fatherhood Forward Resources, found at DePelchin Children's Center in Houston, Texas. Welcome to Wondercast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness. Wondercast is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. In today's episode, we meet Joshua and Ernie, parent educators, fatherhood specialists at DePelchin Children's Center in Houston, Texas. Tune in as we learn more about their incredible resources for dads and the way their work emphasizes the importance of father-friendly programs and the need for men to have a safe space to express themselves and learn from other fathers. This is Joshua and Ernie.
I had a feeling he'd throw it to me first, but my name is Ernie. I'm a parent educator slash fatherhood specialist with DePelchin, one of the newer faces. I've started my position a few months ago. Prior to that, I was with Harris County Juvenile Probation for a number of years, about 13 in various roles where I worked directly with kids and also their families as well. The last 3 years, I was in the technology research department, but have experience in the juvenile justice system as a juvenile supervision officer, as well as a data systems integrity officer. I enjoy working with kids and families. I have two kids of my own, a boy 6 years old and a little girl that's 3. So I enjoy being a father as well. And yeah, I just love the program and what it's doing, and being a part of DePelchin is a great organization.
That's great. Joshua, do you want to share a little bit about you?
Yeah, my name is Batman. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. He's Captain America. I'm Falcon. My name is Joshua Williams. I've been working with DePelchin as our fatherhood lead. I'm one of the program coordinators here. I've been pushing our fatherhood program since 2019, so it's been doing it for 5+ years. My heart and soul is to see fathers and father figures be impactful. Again, I walk alongside with Ernie, which is our goal, our heart, passion, is to see fathers be impacted. In this field, before I got into fatherhood, I've been doing parent education and at-risk youth programs. And so when I transitioned to fathers, I felt like men and fathers just need a need. And DePelchin was able to open up a first fatherhood program here in Harris County. And they say, hey, let's start something with the fatherhood. You know, we always been working on with mothers and children, and which is fine. I love mothers, but I love my mom, because without her, I won't be here. But we say, hey, let's get it. So our goal is been expanding services-wise, try to make sure that it's a, you know, I know we talk more about it, but our goal is to service-size fathers, father figures, teen dads, from all ages who has ages of children. So that's our goal. A little bit about me as well. Again, I'm a passionate guy. I just love being a mentee, mentor, you know, just being people's voices and people's lives, and just make sure to be impactful as well. And just definitely continue our journey. We have our shirts say, be more than that, be a hero, be a superhero. So we want to save the day and make dads know they're important. So, yeah, so this is a great opportunity for us to have this platform and just continue to just grow myself, Ernie, and just want to impact fathers in so many impactful ways.
That's awesome. Now, one of you want to take a minute to just kind of explain a little bit about the model of DePelchin, and is it a national program? Are y'all independent to Harris County? Just kind of share a little bit about what DePelchin is.
So, yeah, our main campus is in Harris County, Houston, but we do have several campuses, satellite campuses in San Antonio. We have one in Austin and also Lubbock. In the DePelchin model, DePelchin has been around almost 118+ years. It started as a faith home, meaning it started as an adoption facility on this little tiny hill that's in Houston. Remember, we've only got one hill in Houston, so this building is built on a hill. So we started as a foster adoption program. And then after that, late 80s and 90s, we transitioned to the prevention work. So when you talk about a framework, this framework is we work in the child welfare system where we work with foster and adopt, which a lot of people know when they hear DePelchin, but a lot of people don't know that we do prevention work as well. So we do counseling services here. So we work with moms, children of provide free counseling. We also provide parenting education tools. So we have parenting education programs such as home visiting programs, which is under our HOPES, where they do one-on-one parenting services. We got our parenting classes that we do here on site. And then with the additional parenting service, we do father services as well. So we work with fathers, father figures of themselves. When we do, when I say groups, workshops, services, sessions with those dads so they can get a certificate. To the addition of that, we also have our work side by side with our foster care system when it comes to counseling services there. So the Pelican has a whole service on a platter when it comes to framework. So every time a family is here, we want to make sure we build, empower the well-being of families and children. That's kind of like our goal and our vision is empower the well-being of our families, children, to make sure they get the empowerment they need through the Pelican. So we're locally here, but we do have satellites, programs in different parts of Texas.
Now, does Pelican have a residency program? Like, do the families live on site or do they just come to you guys for support?
So we don't have a residential program, but we do have two who foster out the system that we are housed here. So we do have that, but we don't have like a family on site. Our service is mostly in the communities. We'll call partnerships with community partners to work with the fathers, work with parents and families inside our community base. So a lot of those come referrals from schools, clinics, hospitals, any person who wants to make sure families are a service in our program.
Some outreach that we do as well to get to recruit fathers that are interested in joining the program as well.
I know with Child Life and teachers and social workers, even nursing, a huge chunk of that is female-run, female-driven. And I love seeing two guys that are engaged in this because I just think about the impact. I know all the male nurses and male teachers and male social workers I've worked with, their reach and impact for some of these families, especially fathers that are trying to connect with your program to see two men that are there to support them and guide them.
It's funny you brought that up because we talk about it. We do a training here called Father Friendly Checkup Training. We talk to professionals about how can you make your program father friendly. A lot of times, and when I say father friendly, meaning we do a checkup, I check your leadership, your program, like how is your material? Does it have like on your flyers? Do I see a father on your flyer, or is it just mom, boy, or kid? Like we try to make sure that those things are trained so it can help show the reflection of both services, right? And that's kind of the cultural awareness that we try to bring in programs. So when you say stuff like that's encouraging, and what's encouraging with your in your services, because it's very important that if you want to reach out to fathers, they want to make sure, is my program or if the services I provide, is it father friendly? Is it making sure that any fathers are being, services to, not just all mom as well. So it's just certain language like parenting or stuff like that.
And to piggyback off what Josh was saying and your question as well, you do feel when we're doing outreach and things like that. I remember we did this resource fair for the counselors in the Spring Branch district. Mm-hmm. When you just get the teachers and counselors, everybody coming up to the table and you're explaining to them what you do and just telling them more about the program, you do kind of get the vibe that, oh, yeah, this is great to see. We love seeing you guys target the fathers because it's definitely a much needed thing that we kind of overlook, when we're talking about children and children's growth. So it's definitely good to see that.
Absolutely. With both of you and just kind of in your own, you can use this anecdotally, just kind of how you see it in your own visits or just kind of what you've been taught about supporting dads. What are the benefits that you see firsthand by having programming that can target a father?
For me, what I notice is that guys, open up more, the ability to share experiences from all different backgrounds, different groups of fathers. Even in one of my most recent sessions, I have a young father. He's 17, and I believe his child is 8 months, maybe less. And he was just expressing, how he just kind of feels like, man, my life is just radically change. I don't know, what I'm going to do, if I'm still going to be able to go to school, just all kinds of stuff, I feel like him being around other supportive people in the same situation is going to be a big, big help for him. and just the program in general, that's what it's there is to support dads like him and guys in that position who, you know, maybe feel like times are hard and they don't know if they can make it through. So I think the support factor is a big piece of it that I think is pretty huge in the whole thing.
I think the work we do, you know, in these years, you see a lot of the dads who come. I have noticed they don't want to leave, right? Mm-hmm. We serve about 500, 600 fathers for the past 4 or 5 years. And a lot of the fathers that graduate, they're like, man, I needed this. You know, the key model we can talk about is brotherhood, right? They love the brotherhood. And you got fathers from all walks of life. They don't even know each other. When they can come meet these 12 sessions with our facilitators and have these times one-on-one, it builds a bond. We're not here to tell them how to be a dad, right? Because if that's the case, I should have been there in the delivery room with a whole menu book with them. Our goal is trying to make sure, how can we stay being effective fathers and effective men in our lives or our children? At the end of the day, it's not about you, it's about them. And I think that's one thing, we able to have that safe space to express himself.
Yeah, safe space for sure.
Safe space, you know, just really be themselves, right? Sometimes we had to put the mute button. Okay, all right. Hey. but it's a way to fund the event. But I do want to clarify that our program, it's not for bad dads. It's not for dads or not who don't know how to be dads. So I try to make sure that's not the label. So actually, these are fathers who loves to be engaged. You hear them, they light up like a butterfly, you know, because, you know, like you said, it's a safe space where men can talk to other men and able to express themselves because they didn't probably have that role model. So I think that a lot of them learn in these 12 sessions about themselves and being able to be open, you know. And of course, you're going to have some dads that are like, man, why I'm here? I don't need to be here. I can do this all by myself. And it'll come. But as they get acquainted in our sessions, they open up and like, man, that's it. I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
So I think that's I think that's what we try to do is connect and let them know, hey, we're with you. We're on your team.
And even speaking about open up, another example, I was doing a session with father, and we were talking, and he was kind of like anti-therapy, anti-counseling, you know. But mind you, on the other hand, he's opening up to me and telling me all kinds of stuff. You know, I was like, okay, I'm about to question you real quick. So I'm like, hey, like, why are you able to open up to me, but you're so anti, you know, there? And he's like, man, I don't know, you know. He's like, he can't even explain it. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, that in itself, you know, you're opening up without even realizing you're doing it. And, you know, you can't explain why, but, you know, it's just a comfortable environment to, you know, express yourself, especially with people that look like you, which is, you know, what I think was one of the main reasons he's able to do that. So.
Well, I think there's a stigma, right, that if you need mental health support, that you, it means you're weak in some way. Like you're not strong. And right. I think that goes across for both men and women, but I feel like maybe it's seen as more socially acceptable for women to be in therapy or be getting support. So I love that these guys can come to a place or visit in a session and get that level of support and it be completely accepted and completely safe. And it's not because they're failing or they're weak. It's because they're so strong that they're trying to take care of themselves and their family.
Yeah. And right. And it's so funny is they come to session. We don't have a clipboard and sit down and say, lay down on the couch. It's actually a group session. So we just like, hey, let's talk about what does it be a man, right? We talk about how do you balance being a dad and work, right? Because a lot of times we hear that word providing is work, work, work. It's, hey, do you have time for yourself, right? So talk about self-care. Talk about discipline. We talk about to child development, right? Like dads, your presence do impact the development of child stages. People forget about, especially milestones, communication, right? And we do talk about co-parenting, right? Like, hey, co-parent is one. That's why I think that's our last session because, you know, that's when it gets hot, real hot.
We were
co-parent at the beginning. We can't get through the thing and all this. So we let it This is the tour graduation, so we can get off our chest. But it's more, but we try to make sure we build a culture where it's more respectful. Mother and your child. And that's the key. We don't bash or tell them. We want to uplift and build relationships because at the end of the day, these are ladies and want to make sure that you're training your kids to treat well, the ladies in their lives as well, especially your daughters.
Definitely.
Now, are they in-person sessions or are they virtual support groups? What's the structure of the programming?
So we do virtual and in-person as well. We kind of figure out, you know, where our location of dads are, and you know what kind of works with their schedules, because obviously it's a group of dads, and you know it's conflicting schedules, conflicting days off, and things like that. What we do in person. I remember when I first started, Josh was kind of a one man show at the time, or maybe not one man show, but he was handling the sessions. And at the time, there was a session going on at a barbershop in Iowa Colony. That was my first introduction to the actual program itself. Just a great group of guys, a great sense of, like you said, brotherhood and togetherness, all types of backgrounds. And it was just real great to see. And that's kind of when I was like, man, this is a great program. I'm glad, you know, to be a part of it. And even just personally, it's, you know, helped me as well. Because like Josh said, you know, I'm new to co-parenting now. So a lot of the curriculum that's taught in the 24/7 Dad program is very helpful. I tell some of my participants all the time, like, this is a great program. Like, I wish I had this, you know, years ago, you know. So for the newer dads, like even the 17-year-old kid that I was telling you about, who's a new father, I'm letting them know all the time, hey, just let's work this program, 12 sessions. You're going to get in what you put in. And it's just a great program and tools that you can throw into your fatherhood toolbox, if you will, to help you, you know, better yourself and your kids and the mother of your kids as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, do you feel like there is a lot of resistance when people first come in to try to plug in with a group? Or do you feel like they all pretty much so click pretty quickly once you guys get started?
So, again, they look at us like, yo, who are you? You didn't teach me how to be a dad. You wasn't there. You know, why I'm here? Because before the clicking, a lot of our referrals, we get referrals from all walks of life, right? So a lot of our fathers are referred from school systems, right? We get volunteer dads. We get fathers who find us on the website. We do get fathers from the CPS, right, courts. So those are going to be more your challenge, right? Because like, hey, I'm going to have to take this class, right? And so we try to make sure that, hey, this culture here is not about this is not a CPS class or culture. It's a class about how we can make sure our fathers are impacted. But when the question you go back to, you say, reluctant? Yes, when some of them, not all, because, of course, remember, they sign up to a class where they don't ever, this is their first time meeting their facilitator, right? And it's first time meeting other dads. So they're not going to open up the first two sessions. I think usually when we see a brotherhood really crack in, it's really our sixth session, five or six sessions, where they like, I think that's when they answer those Zoom calls. They calling you. Hey, respond text. Copy that. I'll be there. Yes, what's going on? I got my book. What's going on? So usually our fifth or sixth session that I have experienced, or our team have experienced. They say, man, that fifth sixth session. They get when they lock in, they can't leave. So now, of course, in true honesty, you do have some dads like, man, hey, I'm not going to say it's everything's happy to go lucky, because you are going to have some dads who are very lucky. I'm just going to go through it. And that's fine. Right. We're not here to twist your arm to be something that we know that's very impactful and it helps. But we definitely want to be there. But we do want to make sure the dads that do want it, we want to make sure we cater to them. So that's kind of like the neat thing about our programming, how we do run sessions here.
So a lot of our families that we support with Wonders and Worries, I know you guys have met Danielle and Whitney. I can't remember which one you worked with the most.
Whitney.
Danielle's at the Houston office as well. I'm sure Whitney shared with you, a lot of what we work with are families that have chronic illness that could be cancer, heart disease, ALS, anything that is diabetes, anything that's a chronic illness. And it's one of the caregivers. So it could be the mom, it could be the dad. Do you guys feel like this kind of programming is supportive to dads who maybe are ill or have someone in their family that they've also been supporting?
Yes. Now, when you're talking about illness, I know we have some dads that are dealing with some slight blindness, but they have children. We had a dad that has certain disabilities, right? But we still try to cater to him because he is a father, so, and he's functioning as very well. So I know a dad just recently, like I said, he's blind. I'm not legally blind, but partially blind. And he had a question. It's like, came to one of our fathers. So he asked a question. He said, I know I'm here to make sure I take care of my kid. But I'm legally blind, but what can I do to make sure my kids, you know, keep that bond? And one of our speakers is like, yeah, teach your kid how to braille. So that kind of be the support, right? Because mm-hmm. when you teach them to braille, y'all can still keep that communication because, you know, we don't know how long we might, you know, have that. So we have a safe space of culture of dads that might have certain, you know, disabilities, or they serve children, and we just make sure they feel wanted, because at the end of the day, fatherhood searches doesn't change. It's just the only thing changes is being have to be adaptable into what you do as a person, but the content doesn't change.
Within the group setting, how many dads do y'all normally have in the programming at a time, like in a group?
So when I first got in, like the barbershop session I was talking about, there was about how many dads?
About 10.
The groups I've been doing, about 5, and some are here and here or there, but you can't miss more than 2 sessions. So attendance is pretty filled every time we do a session. We also go to the jail and do sessions there, and there's a big amount of guys in that room. But yeah, typically about 5 in a typical setting. But yeah, I want to say going to the jail is a pretty impactful experience as well. And just teaching the guys there and talking to the guys there and seeing how they receive the program there is a great feeling to see that we're reaching so many different backgrounds of men.
Absolutely. When you think about it, like when they're in the prison system, they might have some separation from their families right now, right? For a length of time. And for a lot of the families that we serve where if maybe the dad is ill, he might be in and out of the hospital a lot, and his separation is very much probably the same. So I feel like a lot of those tools that you're giving to their dad toolbox is very similar probably on how to connect with your kids, how to build that relationship with your co-parent, and how to nurture your own self-care. I think that those are incredible topics. Do you feel like there are certain questions that you get or concerns that you get from the dads that you work with that seem more prevalent or common than others?
I think common is mental health. We hear that a lot with our fathers. You know, it's a father program, right? So referrals does dictate what type of fathers. You know, child support, you hear that a lot about the child support system. Hey, how can I get access to my kids? Access to visitation is a big common thing that we hear from our fathers. So we're trying to find ways, how can we make it favorable, right? And I think we do have a coalition that we run. I lead a coalition through our father network, how to, what we hear within our fathers, how can we address it in our coalition with other providers? So our goal is trying to push topics that we have actually here. And then how can we push into state levels, local levels, hey, this is what's going on within our father population. How can we fix that? Or how can we service that, right? And so if it's employment loss, right? We do have some fathers that might have a record that comes, right? They might have a record trying to look for some type of problem, but the challenges are there, right? So it develops stressors. So we have these, topics that we hear from the fathers. We try to find ways, hey, how can we cancer manage this area? Or how can we grow in our coalition area to highlight in these kind of things? So those are the neat things. So I think that's why we do coalitions or summits. We want to highlight what we have heard and what we have seen and how we are doing. Like next couple of weeks, probably work next month, I believe we're working on a child support 101 for fathers. Not there to bash the thing, but a lot of times a lot don't know, like, hey, how can I get this child? How can I get it favorable on our side? So things like that. So when you ask those pressing kind of those conversations, that happens there. I know Ernie probably have seen something different, but that's why I know in the years I work, those are the common things I have heard. Employment, access to my kids, right? Or mental, a lot of mental strength, or work with the mother and my child. Like those are kind of like the 4
co-parenting.
Yeah.
And I love that the coalition provides that level of advocacy. I feel like that's kind of where our communities really are lacking. Is it's great that you've made this safe space for dads to come to and to grow as parents, but also feel supported. But now you're taking that and advocating for them. And that's awesome. That's really cool.
It's important because advocates, I think that's going to be our next goal for the next few years, is building a strong coalition. It's called Empowering Father Coalition. Just want to strengthen it more. And it's all providers are welcome to join. Fathers can join. Kind of talk about pressing, things, because if not, it's going to keep people just in the dark, right? Keep people in the loop and stuff. And what's so amazing, one thing I love, not just coalition alone, one thing I love is like when we talk to our dads that I already know, we're like dads know, hey, keep in mind, I know you see a lot of males doing the work, but guess what? There's a lot of ladies also behind this too. There's a lot of ladies that want to do this advocate work as well. And they'd be, yeah. I mean, that's why I always like to bring the ladies that are advocates who works, and they'd be happy. And they're like, man, this lady, she's speaking to me. That's the key. It's not a one side thing. It's not a man against woman. It's all working together. And that's why even rights, I don't like when you say father rights, because father rights are like you coming against mom. It's actually shared parenting rights. Shared parenting. Because if not, that's how things can be very divisive for things.
Yeah, I love that concept of building it together. And I think that you obviously have turmoil when you have families where CPS is involved, or they're coming maybe in the prison system and getting support there. But even in illness, there's turmoil in families. Life is messy. And I feel like whenever you add that stressor of, you know, a hospitalization or financial stress, or maybe somebody's not as physically able to do or show up in the way that they want to, that can make relationship stress with your co-parent, because you're having to not share the role. So I feel like a lot of these topics, regardless of where the men are in their own personal journey, I feel like they're relatable. So I think you're right. Like, it's nice that they can come from all walks of life and still each get something out of it.
Transparency here. I just celebrated, I don't even know if celebrated is the right word, but my dad's just passed away. The anniversary was like last week. So coming into this position, I was kind of coming on the tail end of having to deal with, you know, the death of my father. Like I said, it's just been a great program with a lot of the topics, because one of the topics we deal with is mental health and men's health and, you know, just physical, mental well-being and all that good stuff. And I feel like the program has just almost just come full circle, you know, personally, and just helping me get through, you know, life and just dealing with life and just seeing how to maneuver and adapt to new things. So I feel that way for a lot of the dads that come in. And like I said, they're dealing with all kinds of stuff too. So I feel like the program kind of, to each his own, you know, helps guide them.
Do you find that, because you said that some of the fathers don't want to leave the programming when the 12 sessions are over, do you find that there's ways for them to stay engaged? Like, do you have like an alumni group or like a mentor program or something?
So we do have an alumni that's there. When our dads do fill out our extra forms, we do give them a graduation to fill out. How can they stay involved? So that's one thing we want to, we are called the Circle of Dads. That's something that's funny, Circle of Dads. So that's something that we've been growing, and we're going to be growing this year because I know Ernie's on board. A lot of us are watching. We're going to really push this mentorship going. One thing about our relationship with our dads, that if any like presentation comes up, like I have people call, say, hey, do you have a dad that want to speak on something? Or, hey, I have an event. I always call up a dad who told they want to be involved. They're like, they don't click to be there. So we do have a lot of fathers who try to be involved in our speaking engagements, things that needs there. And they do a great job, because that's a great way to make sure they are advocates as well as fathers stuff. So, yeah, so to answer your question, still, that's something that we want to do. And we do we do this thing called Dad's Day. So it's when all our dads graduate through our different cohort groups throughout the year, we rent out space, either a bowling alley or David Buster's. So all those dads that graduate, we meet. And then we have time to network, eat, play games and stuff like that. And we do at least twice or three times a year. I think that's very important that we did. We've been doing it for about 3-4 years now. And it's just called, you know, it's always a cohort group, because we think that a lot of times we might have dads virtual and haven't seen each other in the face. And so when they come in person to these cohort graduations that we do, like alumni get-togethers, they have a good time. So this year we did bowling. We had a speaker. Hopefully before the end of the year, we're going to do some other engagements, trying to get our fathers from different programs to come together.
That's awesome. Do you have any advice for somebody who might be listening that is a dad, or maybe knows a dad in their life that could benefit from this? Do you have any advice for them considering connecting, like to encourage them to do this?
I would say, yeah, get involved. If you're really passionate and not only want to improve, you know, your life, but the life of your children, why not? Great benefits. There's a lot of incentives to join, where we have passes that we give to the museum that we give out to dads. There's really not a negative reason to not be involved. Support, brotherhood. Like I said, to me, one of the biggest thing is you're around guys who might have gone through the same exact thing you're going through and can help you, you know, navigate through specific situations. So the support factor. There's not too many places you get, like I was saying earlier, They didn't have stuff like this when my dad was around, you know, and who knows how, what type of effect that would have had on me, you know, had we, you know, these programs. And to piggyback off what you were saying earlier, just about, you know, mental health not being as taboo, it's just great, you know, that we have these things now. So, you know, the saying, if you know better, you do better. So it's like we have, you know, so many tools at our disposal to be better men, better fathers, better husbands, better parents. You know, why not take advantage of it?
And guess what? It's free.
It's free.
We love free. Free, and we love to eat. So it's a free program. Like I said, there's no gimmicks. It's just come part of a movement of fathers and father figures. And like Journey said, you can be a part of a group where it can be similar situations. Like we led a group where it was just all fathers who did with special needs children, but it was a beautiful group. Might be a father, like you said, who might have some different elements, and y'all all together. But guess what? It doesn't take away of you being a father. You know what I'm saying? I always want to put that to stressor. If you have an element, whatever, it doesn't take away. You're still a father. And so we have a support group of that. It does grow, and community-wise. And like Ernie says, man, the incentives are there. Things are there. Texans football game. So sorry, if you're a Dallas fan, you're not going to get tickets. I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to go to your football games. No way. Not unless the Cowboys are winning, but it's okay. I'm in Austin. I threw you off. I just grew up in Dallas.
Yeah, and it's a program that you can have either this decision. If you want to do an in-person group, which is we are in the community, we can also do virtual as well if you want to do it through Zoom with our surrounding counties. Or if there's someone listening who wants to partner with us, meaning, hey, I want to do a group at your school. I want to do a group there. We can, you know, dads and donuts is not a one-time thing. We want to do dads and donuts every week, you know, just talk to the dads and stuff. And, you know, and a great organization that, you know, Ms. Julie is doing right here with us. It's amazing. I'm glad that you have a platform for us, for the Let Fathers listen, to know that, hey, you're not alone here. So the best way to referral, we definitely, I'm an old school easy guy, email and call. So
okay,
definitely can you can either email or call each one of us. I can explain my phone number and I'll let Ernie explain his. I'll let Ernie go first. Go ahead.
So my personal number is 3, not personal, but personal directly to my work is 346-740-0150. You can also reach me by email at elastnameagbobock@depelchin.org. And those are the easiest ways to get in contact. And we can shoot you a referral to link in to request more information about the program. And, get you whatever you need to get on board.
Same us. Same number. It's 713-245-9859. Once again, you can reach me at 713-245-9859. Or again, you can reach me at my email. It's J Williams. So J, then WILLIAMS at DePelchin, DEP is in pumpkin, E is an elephant, L is in Lassie, C is in cat, HIN.org. And you can reach us through those contacts, and we definitely will share refer our fathers to both programs. We will work together. So, yeah, you can reach either of us to definitely service your fathers.
Is there anything else that you wish I had asked or that you had wanted to share?
The safe space for men can talk to other men and able to express himself. Again, I walk alongside with Ernie, which is our goal, our heart, passion, to see fathers be impacted.
I tell some of my participants all the time, like, this is a great program, like, I wish I had this, you know, years ago. Let's work this program, 12 sessions. You're going to get in what you put in. And it's just a great program and tools that you can throw into your fatherhood toolbox. Times are hard and they don't know if they can make it through. So I think the support factor is a big piece of it that I think is pretty huge in the whole thing.
Right. They love the brotherhood. And you got fathers from all walks of life. They don't even know each other. When they can come meet these 12 sessions with our facilitators and have these times one-on-one, it builds a bond. You're not alone.